Hello, and welcome back to the Unending TBR podcast. I'm your host, Nicole. Today, I am joined by two fellow readers, and we discuss a very special duology. Thank you very much for joining.
Okay, so this week, this is the episode of Dust and Shadow, and I'm here with Alyssa and Rachel. We have read both, and we're very excited to talk about them and try not to give spoilers.
Oh, that's going to be so hard, but we're going to do it. We can do
gonna
this.
Going to be specifically vague.
Yes.
Or vaguely specific. I don't know.
But I mean, a little bit of both. Yeah. I think that Kara Swenson did a really great job. So I'd like to get both of your opinion going into this book. What were your thoughts? The cover, picking it up from what you had heard about it. What made you want to pick up?
I am a huge Disney nerd. I used to work at Disney World. I mean, huge Disney nerd. Love Peter Pan. Have met the woman who back when she's a cute older lady now, but back years ago, she was the live action model for Walt Disney Animators for Tinkerbell. Talked to her for like 20-30 minutes. It was complete mind-blowing. So I've always loved Peter Pan, love the Disney version, love fairy tale retellings. Rachel knows, she and I have been talking about Once Upon a Time for a while.
Oh yeah.
So I love anything Disney, fairy tale, Peter Pan, anything. So as soon as I saw that this book existed, I was in. Like immediately, as soon as I heard that this book existed, I was like, I have to read this right now. And so, yeah, there was just no doubt that I was going to read it.
Yeah, I joined Bookstagram, I think, just before Dust came out. And so I saw all the buzz about it, but I was still trying to figure out Bookstagram. I wasn't familiar with Enclave, like, at all. But then, you know, I kept seeing it and everybody's like, oh my goodness, it's so good. So I said, okay, you know, it's a pretty book, so I might as well give it a shot. It sounds really cool. And then I bought it because it was on sale. So there's that. And then it sat on my shelf for 3 months. And every time I'd post to be like, oh, this month I'm going to read it. And everybody's like, you have to. I'm like, okay, calm down.
Sure, I was on that list.
I know. I know. And then I finally read it. And yeah, it's so good. Oh my word.
And like Dust ends in a cliffhanger, so
it does.
As soon as I had the opportunity to read Shadow as an advanced reader, I was like, yes please. Mm-hmm. Because had to know how that story ended.
Yeah, and we had both read it like within a month of it releasing, so we've been waiting since July.
Oh, Nicole. Nicole, you and I were like coming up with all these theories about what would happen, and we're like both dying. We're like, I need this book now.
Go ahead.
Every once in a while, it was like you would try and not think about it because the release date felt so far away. But then it's like then you would see it, and then it's like, oh, but then what if this will happen?
I know. It's just so good.
Right. I actually ended up reading mine. I was still reading Dust when the applications for Shadow opened up, and I got my copy. No, I signed up for the arc of Shadow before I even started Dust. And then I was reading Dust when I got my copy. The advanced reader copy. So I had no time to plot. I was like, okay, next one.
You're lucky though, because Nicole and I went a little mad with just how
a little bit
obsessively we were like throwing back theories back and forth about what if this character is this, and what if this happens, or how do you think this will end. And then we read it and we were both like, it was so good, but just like we had to like bring our wild expectations back into like, this is what actually happened in the book.
And because it was like, and because, and then when we both got, because I think we were like tag teaming, we read it over the same weekend. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we were like tagged to, I, you know how like you rip into book mail, you rip that packaging. Oh, yeah. I feel like we ripped into that email to get that mm-hmm. thing. Cause it was like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an understatement. So like, you, like, you and I, as soon as it posted, I think you and I messaged each other within like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Cause we were like, oh my word, the arcs are out. And so like, yeah, we were, so I'm a little obsessed with this book. So
with all your time that you had to plot, did it live up to your expectations in plotting?
Actually, it really did. Cause I mean, well, not all of the heat, like not all of the points that I had some really wild theories.
It is. She had some really wild theories, but we can't go into them without without spoiling anything.
But it really did fulfill everything that I mm-hmm. kind of like wanted to happen and more. And I feel like, so coming into the first one, I really enjoy like talking about Dust. I really enjoy the idea of a fairy tale continuation, like mm-hmm. versus a complete retelling, because a retelling, you kind of get the ending, but a continuation mm-hmm. is neat because if you're already familiar with the story and the Peter Pan and all that stuff, you're familiar with the magic system when it comes into like a fantasy mm-hmm. retelling, you're familiar with the characters to some degree, but you get to go deeper. You don't have to re-explain them. You don't have to reinvent them.
Right.
And I really like that about this.
Mm-hmm. You already love the characters when you open the book.
Yeah. Well,
that
okay,
is
so
hard to do. So she did mm-hmm. well with that. She did so many things well with this book. Let me know when you're ready for me to talk about them.
So what character did you feel like you attached to or identified with first in the book?
I would say Claire. And the reason is the mental health struggles she goes mm-hmm. through are very, you know, easy to relate to. And I really love that she took that spin on Claire's mental health issues and like dove deep into it in a YA book, not in a bad mm-hmm. way, not in a scary way, mm-hmm. but in a like, hey, this is what she's struggling with while this is going on. And it was very, I thought it was very well done. So
The character that I attached to was Peter, because I'm a loud person and I'm assertive, putting it nicely. And very interestingly timed. Actually, it's been happening this entire year. Every single time I've been dealing with some sort of issue inside, then God has brought along a specific book and mm-hmm. it has just clicked into place, and it's absolutely crazy. But this week that I was reading these two, I was struggling so much with, I have to grow up, I have to be an adult, I have to make all these decisions, and I have to find my direction in life, and I got to figure out what to do with my life so that I don't lie on my deathbed and have regrets. And then this book came and I was like, oh, we're the same. And he messes up so much. The characters, they're just so flawed and I love it,
but
and it makes me so mad.
The original Peter Pan, the original Peter Pan character was messed up, selfish, mm-hmm. Kind of bratty, not even in the Disney movie, but that too, but like from what I know of the actual classic, I mean, he mm-hmm. was just messed up in general, so he is automatically relatable, I feel like.
Yeah.
And that was
oh, Sprat.
And I, that was kind of like my thing, is like, he was like not quite a character that I was really looking forward to, because it's like, because mm-hmm. of the selfishness and the not wanting to grow up, I really like my hero to be able to make that stand and to be the heroic hero. Mm-hmm. And
he was that way eventually.
Oh, and that's what I'm saying. This author did a fantastic job of not only getting to where he needed to be in his personal growth, mm-hmm. but really doing it in such a way, and also giving kind of a backstory context,
mm-hmm.
what was going on, so you could both understand sometimes why he did that. Really thought the whole like loss of memory thing,
mm-hmm.
or repressed memory or something, was really interesting.
Yeah,
going me back to the mental health. I thought Claire was really interesting too, because of like her sense of worth, and mm-hmm. but also her loyalty. I loved her loyalty, but I have to say, I absolutely adored Tiger Lily from the first minute that she's.
Oh, she's so cool.
You know, it's like,
can I be her when I grow up?
Yeah,
like
I want to be her.
I want the silver tattoos.
Goodness, yes. Well, I was going to say Peter Pan's backstory was amazing, but Tiger Lily's backstory was also amazing. Captain Hook's backstory was also amazing. Like,
that one caught me by surprise.
Oh my word.
And then the twist that comes in book two that we can't talk about yet.
Yes, I know.
I know.
Okay. This episode may dissolve into random fanning squawking. But I really loved how she did the depth of, and she got there really quick. I mm-hmm. feel like sometimes it's like authors seems to like, she got to the character's heart and their issue. Yeah. And she made them page very fast. She did not lose my attention at all.
And yet the character growth and development was very realistically paced.
I don't know.
Because you know how some authors, they're like, oh, this person's so bad. And then they flip a switch overnight and now all of a sudden they're great, which happens sometimes, but not very often in real life.
Well, and I also feel for somebody who's not doing a lot of fantasy and a lot of fantasy, I really appreciate that the majority of Dust takes place in one place, and it takes mm-hmm. place in a universe I can understand. So you get to know the characters, you get to understand the characters a little bit in Dust. Mm-hmm. But then by the time you get to Shadow, you already have those characters in play. You don't have to mm-hmm. rework their characters while in, because so much stuff happens in Shadow.
Oh,
you
do not
have time to build up.
That whole first book was just build up for everything that happened in book two. Not really, but it felt like it at times. It's just like, there was just like every like page turn, you're like, oh my word, oh my word, oh my word, is in book two. And there's just no time for setting up characters. You're right. Like,
oh yeah.
It really was. And I feel like that was my only kind of critique. And I'm kind of like, oh, well, there was a couple, like, it was like a chapter or two that not much happened. You know, here's my mm-hmm. nitty gritty. And I'm kind of like, or this kind of took a long time to happen, but then when you put them together, I get it. I get exactly why it's paced that way. And
Kara Swanson was like, it's a wild ride or something like that on Bookstagram. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was just like, just buckle in and get ready. And boy, was she right. Cause she took us on a roller coaster in Shadow. Which we can't talk about yet.
I was texting her or messaging her as I was like, I'm only 25% in and this happened? You did this to this character? What even? And she's like, just have faith. It's going to work out. And I'm like, no, it's not. How dare you? The nerve.
I know authors have to, I mean, remember, can you imagine like a time, Rachel, you're a little young for this, but you used to have to write letters.
Yes. My first contact with the author was like old school email. Like,
I'd email them.
I know, but it's like, it's so fun now.
It was for social media, Rachel.
Right. Yeah. I'm not that young though. No, I'm glad that I'm alive and coming into that time when I can just hit up the author and be like, how dare you? I love it, but how dare you? Can we be friends so I can influence your future writing decisions? And maybe name a character after me on the side.
I'm a little nervous to be named after a character because I'm sure
that is true.
character will either die or be the villain.
Why? I would love to be the villain in a book. Right? I'd love it.
I think I could. I always tell my brothers I could be a really good villain.
Oh, yeah. I can make a great villain. I'm an older sister and a nanny. Trust me, I have a backstory already to be used.
I love it.
I am ready to go.
So, in the wrapping up of Dust, how do you feel about cliffhanger endings?
Oh. So, it was a very good ending, but I was so angry when I was like, this is it? This is all we get for a year? I mean, I was like physically yelling that, I think, because I was just like, I love them, but only when I have access to the next one pretty quickly.
I mean, I did, so I wasn't upset.
The book hangover from Dust, I couldn't get over it. And then we had to wait so long for the second one. Oh, I don't mind cliffhangers if the book is going to be released rather quickly. But if it's not, then I'm not a fan because I can't wait. But she did well with this. Like, not critiquing, because it was still really well done. And, like, she made it big enough that you were, like, still tied into the story after you wrote it. And you were, like, clearly, because we were coming up with conspiracy theories. But, like, if I have to read a cliffhanger, this would be the way I'd want to do it.
I listened to the audio version, actually, while I was doing that. And the audio book was really neat because they actually had two different narrators, a narrator for Peter's voice and a narrator for Claire's voice, which I really loved because you get Peter's accent then.
Oh,
and that was really cool. But I mean, I was listening to it at such a fast pace by the end to probably go back and
like at 2x speed or 1.75?
No, probably like 2.5. I can go up to 3 for the book.
Whoa!
Wait,
but yeah, it was fast.
That's really fast.
That's really fast.
For listening to an audiobook.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness!
I have to increase it in increments. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. Wow. But anyway, okay, let's talk about Shadow as much as we can
before we go into Shadow.
Okay, before.
So every time I mention Dust or I saw it, everybody's like, Peter. He's such a nice character. I just love him so much. And he's just an amazing character. And he's the best book boyfriend. And I was like, yeah, okay, you're overhyping this character. And I haven't even read it right, but he seemed overhyped. And then I started reading it. And I was maybe like, I had 3-4 chapters of Peter. And then I was like, oh, this is why. And then I was like, oh no, they were right.
But I mean, that's the best, because to me, it's like, it's so hard when something is super hyped and then you're like, you know, but I really hope that nobody hears this and do this, but I feel like I was taken by such surprise at how well it was done that, I mean,
it took me a while, a little bit to get into it. But then I just, about like a quarter in, then you are hooked. And what I love so much is that the voices, because it switches between Claire and Peter's perspective, their voices are so different and distinct. You can tell right away. And it's so good. Like, even if you get in a bit of a reading haze and you forget to see the header of whose character is.
You know who's talking
just by the first paragraph because of how they talk.
And the romance. I loved it. We can talk about that. It was wonderful. But I was hooked in Shadow. Again, I had been waiting for so long that I was immediately hooked. But there is a weird, like, time difference in Neverland and Earth, if I'm remembering correctly, that was like threw me for a loop for a second. Like, it clears up in the first few chapters, but
like when Peter finds out about the time difference with the person who I don't know if we can say the name yet.
No,
the person who shall not be named.
But the person who shall not be named. We need a novella with that character, with the person who shall not be named, and then the person, you know, we need a novella with those two.
Yes.
That would be so cute.
Yes.
I would buy that in a heartbeat.
We'd buy anything related to this right now, because
that is true. Just like, take my money.
But yeah, the time difference, like, oh, it would be so hard to deal with. I mean, it really would, but.
Well, that, I felt like that was something that you didn't, that wasn't quite explained like right away. But then when you realized it happened, it built on the suspense of what was all at stake.
And you're just like, oh, shoot. So this has all been happening. Mm-hmm. And then this character has been thinking this the entire time. But the character's only thinking this because of the time thing.
Yeah.
That was very unclear to anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about. But I love it.
I think whoever's read it will know what I mean, hopefully.
And if you haven't read, shut.
You should.
And you will get it, what we're talking about.
Yeah. That way. Then you will get it. And then you can comment on.
Right. And I don't know when this podcast is going to air, but as of now, it's like a month until release. So you don't have long to wait.
No. I know. I'm thinking of releasing it like really close or just before.
Right. So then less people will be corrupted by our knowledge.
I mean, it's just kind of funny when you get into the arcs and stuff, because we've read it like what, almost 2 months ago.
Yeah.
But it's so exciting because then release date comes and then everybody can read it.
And the world knows.
The world can know our pain. It's so fun.
Oh, I think one thing that I really loved about Shadow was how, again, my only little nugget thing with Dust was that it kind of slowed a little bit in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But with Shadow, it is
It's been 2 months since I read it, so I can't remember.
You read them so close together.
They just kind of blurred together.
Yeah.
Because I think it was literally like the next day that I picked up Shadow. So there was no ignorance is bliss.
No, Nicole, I definitely agree with you. Shadow was nonstop thrill ride. Like I said, every chapter, every page turn, you're like, this is happening now. Mm-hmm. And when you get to about halfway through, things start happening that you're just like complete whiplash about. You're like, what just happened? And we can't talk about it, but it was so good.
But it's like, but if you are reading it after thing and you need to say like, what is this happen? You can message any one of us.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Hit us up when you're reading this book.
We will always be happy to talk about this book.
And I feel like so much of it, because it happens so fast paced, sometimes you just have to like roll with it, because we were like, well, what do you think this means? And it's like, I think it's just a roll with it moment. And sometimes that has to happen, I think, with fantasies.
Yeah.
I think of everything that was going on, you just have to accept it. It's not always over explained. And I actually like that about this. There's not a huge bunch of technical talk of why it's working this way. It's just the actions that are happening.
Yeah, because I remember, Nicole, you and I messaged each other about something that happened in that. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But we were like, what? But we just kept going because it was just, it made sense on the surface of it, and just move on. And that was very true. So.
Yeah. And I actually appreciate a writer that can write that too. I don't need to know all the techniques all the time.
Yeah, now, Nicole, we did a buddy read of Shadow, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
And then it was like, oh,
I think we like got to the halfway point and talked, and then we both were like done with the last half of the book so quickly.
Yeah, it was like an afternoon, and it was just like done.
You have to read it. It gets to the point where you're just so sucked in that you don't really, you need answers.
Yeah, I think that there was like a one chapter slight breather right at halfway point that we could actually put it down.
And it was actually a physical breather for the characters. They got a moment of rest.
It was like oh, a yeah. one chapter break.
With the two characters, and then the thing happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the really cute part.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it was before the cute part.
Because the cute, you get the cute part, and then you just get, it's like someone just chucked you off a bridge into the water. You're just like, you had to take a deep breath and go. Or sirens, as the case may be.
About the spot that we stopped at, because that sounds, yeah. Because it was like a chapter later, and it was complete upheaval again.
It's after the character who shall not be named, and then the other one, they come back.
Yeah.
It's not too vague.
It's getting too confusing for me now.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to give a little bit of a spoiler because I think that, sort of, because the fan art is out there, so it's not that big of a spoiler. But at the end of Dust, I was really concerned that we wouldn't see Tiger Lily anymore. I thought she was going to phase out. Remember how, Alyssa, we were talking about this? But and then we do get her back in Shadow. Mm-hmm. And
in the biggest, most awesome way, too.
She is so amazing.
Thick butt. Just,
oh, yeah. I want to be her when I grow up. Oh, my goodness. She's amazing.
Seriously. And I loved how she was brought back. Mm-hmm. So. Spoiler.
And she's a nice type A character who just... She gets what she needs. She gets it done. And I just like her.
I really liked her. And I feel like that was a really strong point of it. It's like you have the two main characters. You have so much going on with the main people. And then you have these really great supporting characters that were so good too.
So they need their own novellas.
Characters.
And also, I absolutely loved the Faith thread that came
the
out.
So just so people know, the Everone is God, and they reference him. You know, Neverland, Everone. Yeah, it's great.
And when it is mentioned, it's like it so makes sense of what's being sold, and it's wrapped up, because that was another thing that it was like Dust. It's like it's really great. It's really, you know, clean. But there wasn't super anything overt. And I was kind of like waiting for it.
And then once you start, and then once you hit that point in Shadow, it's like a drawstring bag that just like pulls it all together.
Yep. It does. The Everone ties all of it up. Even the existence of Neverland, I'm pretty sure it's explained with the Faith string, which is just awesome. So
it does. I mean, the strings were all there, but it's all tied together in Shadow. And I mean, I think you really need that, because if the title doesn't give it away, it does get darker because it is the climax of what is going on.
You know, in the beginning, and then you meet the thing.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, wouldn't it be so cool if it was that all along? And if that was like the really neat subtext that was going on. And I was right. And
it was.
My mind was so blown. I was like, it is. Freaking out.
That was one of my correct predictions, is part of what this is going to be really bad. Just read it, people. Because of the things that come out with different characters that you don't yet meet in, that come through in Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
I just really liked how she brought it all about.
Yeah. And I really like that we get to see the motivation behind our quote villains.
Yes.
Because that's something we don't see often enough in Christian fiction. It's just like, if the bad guy is just all the way bad. But in reality, like, no one's all the way bad or all the way good. We're all flawed humans with a sinful nature. And we make choices that lead to how we turn out. And we get to see the choices.
Nicole knows I love a good villain, love villains. I have seen Michelle Grief did a good redemption story of a villain in one of her newer books. I love villains, but I also love villain redemption stories or villains with a good backstory that kind of helps you get to how did they get this way?
Mm-hmm.
And is it not justified, but understandable?
Yeah. And it's like they do awful things. And
well, and it's like,
okay, but you know why.
Yeah.
Helps you understand them.
I love it when a villain has more motivation than just I'm evil.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I love.
More motivation than just like, you did this to me, so I'm gonna go destroy the world. Like, it's a lot more complex normally than just one thing.
I hear a hot take Tuesday coming, Rachel.
Actually, yeah, that's one of the ones I've been mulling over.
Okay. But yeah, I love it that we can have stories of people. I love a good redemption story anyway. And if you can, any kind of redemption, because I feel like Peter has some redemption to face.
Oh,
you
know, there's so much.
A lot of redemption themes throughout this series. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Sure.
So good.
It's just a good book, guys. Just read it. Just read the series. You won't regret it. Take it from the three of us.
And
am I the old? Go ahead.
It's awesome to have it as a duology. I'm actually really loving fantasy duologies because you don't have to wait as long.
Right.
You know, you get, and it's faster paced often. Mm-hmm. I'm loving duologies.
It's really neat.
I just don't love when the duology, when the second book doesn't come out for another year.
But that just shows
that is true. It's true.
Okay, so any final thoughts?
Am I the only one who cried reading it?
No.
I cried. I cried at one point in Shadow.
Is it the part?
Well, we can't talk about it.
It's closer to the end, and then the person says the thing that's really just the drawstring to the character.
Yes.
And then it just tears everywhere.
No, I cried at a different part, but I'll tell you after we finish recording.
I have to bleep that part out if you said it now. I also cried at the dedication when she, I don't know, I think I'm allowed to say this. She dedicates it to the readers.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've all watched through Shadows this last year. And I was just like, it's so, and then just my mind just went back to this whole last year. Where it, for me, it hasn't been a lot of like physical difficulties, but a lot of emotional growth over the last year. And I was just, it just hit me right there. And I was like,
in the beginning of Dust, she uses my favorite, one of my favorite all time literary quotes, which is in the dedication of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe from the Chronicles of Narnia. And C.S. Lewis is writing to his goddaughter and says, someday you will be old enough to start reading fairy tales again.
Mm-hmm.
And she puts that in the beginning of Dust. And I was like, all right, I already love it.
Right.
So.
Isn't, okay, now I'm thinking, there's the dedication to when she.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, it was the acknowledgement. In Shadow, she says that.
But I think her dedication is children need to read fairy tales. I hope I'm not getting my books mixed up. But she said, like, children need to read fairy tales not to know that evil is out there, but that dragons can be defeated or something along that.
Yeah, that's a Tolkien quote.
Yeah, that's a Tolkien quote.
And it's like, and I saw that and it's like, that's so fitting with the theme and
Yeah. I mean, she did nods to some of the greatest fantasy writers ever.
I loved that so much.
And it just is like, makes me love her as an author even more.
Right.
I know. I am really excited to see what she comes up with next. So,
prediction. I really hope it's the novella for those two characters.
Because that shall not be named.
That shall not be named. But you'll know when you read it. You'll know.
Y'all know.
I think I even told her that she needs to write that.
Don't you love it how we can give them ideas?
It's like, by the way, this is what you're writing next.
Yeah.
If you don't have ideas, I have plenty.
Yeah.
So now I have to go watch the Disney movie again tonight. Okay. I just love Peter Pan.
It's just... Yeah, Shadow was definitely one of my top 10 of the year.
Yeah, I mean, Dust was one of my top picks of last year, but Shadow, definitely. So
five stars all around.
Oh yeah, six stars. 20. All of them.
The stars.
The galaxy, while we're at it.
The second star on the right.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Clever.
There we go.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me with this. This is so much fun. Cannot wait to see what she comes up with next.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.